The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
The Asian Avengers, so weak.
The Asian Avengers, so weak, so fuckable, bro. You know? Whoa. There's five Asian guys together.
Together. Did you ever go through a stealing phase?
Do I think everyone should have a gun? Maybe.
Or you can look me up. I don't care. I'll fight you. I don't care.
You want to get high as fuck? You like opium?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And it's Mike Nguyen.
Quick shout out to our network, Listening Party and Canal Street Market. Check out those guys on Instagram at Canal Street Market and at Listening Party Presents. Mm-hmm. Also, if you're listening to this on your phone, Spotify, SoundCloud, whatever, please take a screenshot and then put it on Instagram stories, post and tag us at Asian Not Asian Pod, and say something nice about us. We need it. It's been a tough week.
Yes.
I really, really need it. Today's topic will be about haters, aka I want to have an open discussion about whether being a minority is advantageous in various industries, especially something in entertainment and
in
comedy.
Entertainment.
Because you know, I had a very interesting thing that happened this week. So this has been happening to me, I guess, like the last 3 years, and I guess I just wasn't listening because it never really hit me the way it did this week. But ever since we started this podcast, we started doing the live shows, people see that, like, you know, I don't necessarily think we're successful, but other comedians, I guess, think that we're successful.
Oh, yeah.
And we were having I was having a conversation with this female comedian, and this person is white, and she was, like, pitching all these podcast angles to me, and I was just being honest. I was like, well, I don't know. I feel like that's been done, or, like, I don't know. You got to kind of make it you. Yeah. I don't know anything. And then it got to, she got frustrated, and at a certain point, she was like, well, I can't just make a podcast about being Asian like you. I can't just talk about Asian and get successful.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, oh, like, do people think, hey, thank you, because we're not successful at all. But but also, like, oh, I didn't realize people thought of this like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, while we are, I think we're blinded by the love. You know, we get a lot of love from our fans.
Our fans are great.
And some of the comedians that we like who've been on the show, they give us a lot of love. But then there's a lot of haters out there who think that we're not really working hard. We're just kind of being Asian, and all these things are happening to us.
We're just talking about Peking duck and stuff, and people are loving it.
And I guess, like, here are other two things I want to mention, and it's all kind of related. I just remember specifically, like, 5 years ago before I started comedy, I lived with this guy. He was a writer, very funny. He actually got me into comedy, and he's a writer in LA now. And we met up a couple years ago, and he was talking about he's having, like, an existential crisis. He's a white guy, and he's having an existential crisis about himself as a writer, because he was like, oh, like, no, like, legit, my agent told me, like, they're not looking for straight white guys right now for writing positions. And at the time, I felt bad, because I do think he's funny, and he's a nice guy, and I was like, oh, that's wild, bro, whatever, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so there's been, like, that, and then also, like, we have friends kind of, like, quitting because they feel like they're not getting the respect that they deserve. A lot of them are straight white guys, you know? And I just kind of want to have a, you know, open conversation about it with everybody here on the podcast today, because I want to like, dive into it, you know?
Yeah.
Is it really just, is everything coming to us just because we're Asian, you know?
Right.
Like, I mean, have you had people say that shit to you?
Yeah, I have. And you know, to be fair, it's never been where somebody was, like, sort of accusatory about it. Everyone sort of, you know, kind of like an offhanded thing, but I think that kind of reveals a little bit about how they are thinking about, you know, quote unquote success or finding your thing or getting traction. I think that's the nice thing, is like we got traction, like, and we're pretty new with comedy, so, like, it, you know, people are saying, and, like, from the outside, I mean, fuck, our fucking podcast has the word Asian twice in it, you know?
Yeah.
Although one of them has the word
not in
it also.
So it cancels it out.
So I think people look at us and sort of wonder, you know, what is it that they did that, again, we're not successful, but, like, help them get something. Help them something
going.
Funny.
Maybe they just can't fathom why two straight Asian guys are getting stuff. I don't know what it is.
We it's certainly like, don't deserve it. But I mean, you know, I know how much hard we work on this, and you know, like
dude,
behind the scenes,
that's
we work crazy hard.
That's what kind of like rubbed me the wrong way. It's like, bro, like you just sitting here like complaining and like inviting me to bars and stuff. Like I don't even go out, man. Like this is what I do. Like I plan for guests. I do a bunch of research. Like I do put in a lot of hours into this. So like, I don't know. Maybe the Asian thing is relevant, but like, I would hate for it for that part of it to be dismissed. Yeah. You know. But I want to have this conversation with our guest today.
Yes.
She's a good friend of mine from the Bay Area. She's been on Comedy Central's Clusterfest. She's also been on Viceland's show called Funny How. Super excited to have her on the show. Please welcome to the show Irene Tu. Hey. Hey. Hey.
What's up?
Thanks for coming on the show. We're just gonna get right into it, man. Have you ever gotten comments like that?
Yeah.
Usually it'll just be like kind of jokingly in conversation, but no one's ever straight up and like, yo.
But even the stuff. But even like the little, but even the jokes
thing,
though,
right?
Yeah, but I feel like that's just been my whole life where I just like laugh it off. I'm like, haha, and then I just leave. You know? Yeah.
What do people say exactly?
It'll be like straight white guys usually just been like, oh, like you know, it's so hard, and then it's like you're getting stuff, and I'm like. Cool, and then I just like you know like moonwalk out of that conversation. Like, yeah. Yo, I got something else to do. I don't like to engage.
What do you mean?
Conflict.
Yeah. You're just doing your thing.
Yeah, I just like I'm not like a people pleaser, but I just don't like to like rub people the wrong way. So
sure.
I would rather just leave.
Just disappear behind a bush.
I think I am that way 99% of the time.
Same.
But I think with this specific project, because she like brought up the podcast specifically.
That was the thing that hurt.
It's just annoying because like, okay, if you want to play that logic of like, oh, you're just Asian, so people come to you. Like, okay, you're a white woman. Like, that you there are more of you than there are. Like, Asian people make up 5% of the population, right?
Right.
And white people make up like, I don't know, at least 75% of the population. So
you
like,
mean here?
In America.
In America.
Yeah. Not
yeah.
Like everywhere.
Not everywhere. No, yeah. But in America, so it's like you could just start talking and people are like, oh, I know what this is. Whereas like if we start talking like the way we do,
right.
I feel a lot of people are like, what is this?
Yeah.
Do Asian people talk like this?
Yeah.
Like the way that we do? At least in outside, I think like heavily Asian populated areas like the Bay Area and LA, you know, I think people don't really know what Asian people are like and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I don't know. It hurt, baby. It hurt.
I think that... you know, it's like some like I'm guilty sometimes of like saying, oh man, I wish I had could have a podcast where I just talk about dating or something like that.
Yeah.
But like I'm not dating anymore. It's too late for me, right? But I also then have to catch myself and say, hey, that's I'm sort of doing the same thing because it's like I'm attributing it to like some small aspect of their personality or life or looks even sometimes, and I realize that like there's a lot of work you need to do in order for that to happen, and that's just sort of like that little. Like the little hook that you see that ends up kind of drawing you in, but then there's actual, you know, I mean, if it's good, it's got it, you know, if we were we can't just be like Peking duck, you know, like,
yell it out, you know what I'm saying?
Like Subaru, you know, like just yell it and like people will come to see
is
us.
Is that an Asian thing?
Is Subarus? Is it?
It's a Japanese car.
All right.
Well, but I didn't know like we liked them or anything.
But see, that's the thing is like, I think you like him because you were into street racing for a while. But like, if you're not into street racing, because it's so funny because you say Subaru, you think that's an Asian thing.
I think it's a lesbian thing.
I think it's a white thing.
Ah.
Oh.
Wait, why is it lesbian? Because they're hiking in Denver?
I don't know. It's just a lesbian car.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah,
a well-known lesbian.
Why?
I don't know why.
The flannel, it's the flannel of cars. So like,
is it?
Because it's like off-roady. You know, you can fit a lot of shit in the back.
It's rough.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, they're also, they last really long.
Yes, they do.
And they have good value. Which I feel like is a lesbian thing.
Yeah,
I should quantify my Subaru yelling. Subaru WRX.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
How about
see,
that?
That's
see now, you know?
Okay, now I'm like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
But see, that's what now, we have to have a discussion about Subarus.
Yeah.
We can't just talk about Asian
car.
We can't even just talk about Subaru.
I mean, because you know? You do. I mean, you do comedy in the Bay, and there's a lot of. I love.
Yeah, I live in LA now, and I would people to know that.
Oh yeah. Well, then you live in LA.
Yeah, thank
but
you.
But are you going back and forth?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, LA too. Same thing, basically. Like, there's a lot of. Are there a lot of Asian people in comedy shows?
In LA,
yeah,
like audience members.
Audience members.
And comics. Not usually at the shows that I perform at.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. is it a Subaru?
I think there are. Is a Subaru crown. which Subaru? The lesbian Subaru or the Asian Subaru?
Yeah. The Outback. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, that's so lesbian. Oh, yeah. That's great. That's great.
You know, there are like more like Asian shows, like they have Asian AF, Asian people in the audience but like I do a lot of adulty shows, so that's not a lot of Asian people.
That's interesting too, because a lot of like I feel like Asian people are very hungry for content, and they'll just go to any Asian show.
They will really go to any Asian show. Yeah. Not even if they like comedy. They're just like, this is an Asian thing.
Yes. Yeah, I wanted to talk about this because like we feel it, but we don't really know how to vocalize it. I feel like this is something that's definitely happening in New York. I'm sure it's happening in LA too. They'll just come, but it doesn't mean they're going to like your shit.
Totally.
You know?
Yes.
Sometimes I'll do like an Asian show and they're like really excited for the show, but they're like, I'll do my set and I won't feel that good about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't think I did that well. Like they're very supportive, but I'm like, they didn't laugh in the way that I wanted them to laugh. And I will have like, usually if there are like Asian people in the audience, they will come up to me after the show and be like, hey, I really liked your set. Yeah. But it's still not a large portion of the audience.
I think, you know, to be fair about what some other comics might think, like, you know, it's just branding something as Asian may get you sort of like an initial like little blip where you're like, oh, this is like, you know, other Asian people will hear the whistle and like start going to check it out to support.
Yeah.
But in the end, ultimately, when you're at the show, you have to like still like what you see in whatever way, you know, the person has to be good, or you like whatever that person has to offer.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be sustainable, right? Like there's only so much supporting you can do, right? Ultimately, like the ultimate product, because, you know, otherwise, like, you know, you just have just make another Crazy Rich Asians, you know what I'm saying? Just make another one of those. And that, the success of that showed that it wasn't just Asian, it was Asian. And then it had like kind of this other thing going on that was like more whatever. So I think, like, to your point, there's a lot of people who really, I asked you this question before. Like I was like, are there too many Asian shows now? Like in New York, I asked you, did I ask you this question?
Are there a bunch? Cause I haven't done a single one since I've been here.
There's a lot of sketch shows.
Yeah. There's stuff sketch like shows. There's a lot of like, I would say that there's Asian AF, and then they're just like, there's a couple like Asian themed shows. Mm-hmm. And then they're just like, there are other shows run by Asian people.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I would call them Asian.
Yeah.
Like our show.
Even our show now is like, it's funny because it wasn't an Asian show before, but now because of the podcast and like the people who come, our fans. And now.
So you do get a lot of Asian audience.
We do. Yeah. And now it's become. We have all sorts of people.
We've always, before the podcast, like I would say at least 30% of our audience members were Asian. And I didn't know where they were coming from. I was just like, I guess they just see our foreign ass names and they want to come. Like, there's definitely, I don't know, maybe that's like a thing. I want to talk about this. Do you think that like, this is a dangerous area, but I'm going to bring it up.
Okay.
A lot of white guys will complain saying it's like, you know, it's harder for them now. Mm. And here are two data points that I want to just bring on to the podcast to see how you react. I know somebody who writes for publication, and this person said to me that they will not write about like a project if there are more than two straight white guys in it. Mm. And they're like, I'm trying to highlight POCs, LGBTQ, you know, these other groups of people. Mm. And so, hey, that's shout is like, that's good for me. but it did make me think like, I don't know. It's It didn't make me feel good. I don't know. Well, you know what I mean?
What do you think, Irene?
What do you think about that?
I like when people do that, but also don't say out loud that they do that.
Oh.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, like, I have produced a lot of shows when I, like, first started doing stand-up, just because, like, that was the only way I could get stage time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't get booked a lot when I, like, first started. I wasn't, like, one of the cool kids or something, so I just, like, did a lot of my own shows. And I always wanted to book, like, more women or people of color, whatever. And I just did it, and I never said it. Like, it was a thing. That was just a thing that I did.
Well, now we got it on recording, so.
Well, you know, now I don't book those shows anymore.
Oh,
doesn't
matter. Yeah.
So don't come at me.
I do think that it's like now the for... Okay, I don't want to even say now there's an even playing field, but like the what I think some people perceive of as being a disadvantage is just fairness.
Yes. I was thinking about what Randall said. Remember when Randall Otis was on here? He was like, equality means you have to give up some shit.
Yeah.
So now it's like, when you go on audition, maybe it was for 10 straight white guys, and now maybe it's for 2 straight white guys, 2 black women, 2 black guys, 2 Asian guys, and 2 Latinas, or whatever, right? And so that means they just lost 8 spots.
Right.
So that seems like hard for them.
This seems like they lost, but like really it's just fair.
Fair.
So I mean, you just, one of my favorite shows, Friends, has 6 white people in it, right? And New York City is not 6 white people.
No, you know what I'm saying? Not at all. You know,
and if you wanted to make a show that was like really representative of New York, you really representative of New York, you'd have to have a bunch of Asians, a bunch of Puerto Ricans.
You have a Dominican guy.
You got, you know, you got a white girl. Sure, throw a white girl in there. Yeah, you know, throw a straight white dude in here. But they're not the only ones. And for a long time, it was just only white people. And now that like it's like, I'm not, again, not saying it's level at all. A little bit of a correction. It's like, oh my God. It's like, really? When they say they feel at a disadvantage, now really what it is now we have to compete.
It's like, oh, I have to try now?
Yeah.
Things are just given to me?
Yeah, we've
That's, I think that's kind of what it comes down to. But it's interesting because like from always being at that top.
Yeah.
Coming down, because everything is relative, right? So if you had it so good and you come down a little bit, it sucks.
It's
hard to emphasize.
I guess it's like being rich.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I have to do something now?
I have to do something. I have to get my own caviar? Yeah. What the fuck is this shit? I was at this this design like conference thing, and like they were giving a talk, and it was like they were like explaining how these designers were explaining how they, you know, started their companies. And it was 2 white dudes, and one was older and one was a little younger. And I was sitting there, and like at one point they were both on stage, and it was like, this is so odd that it's, you know, in this day and age it feels really acutely strange because like we're sort of more attuned to it in this very like sliver of time to have like 2 white dudes. But it is weird, and it's as strange as like having like only one of one kind of person.
Yeah,
you know. But this is sort of like just accepted. It's just like, you know. And I think they kind of got called out on it during the thing. But it is weird. For a long time, you would just accept that this is the standard. It's like, oh, you're gonna have 2 white dudes or whatever it is, and now it's like, you know, because you look at the audience who was there.
Yeah.
The audience was not only white dudes. There was white dudes there, but there was all sorts of people. And but like the people who are sort of rise to the top is like there's a certain kind of person.
Yeah.
And it's very strange. And I think it's funny too, because I think sometimes white people are really sensitive, because for example, I always joke like you and I can never be booked on the same show.
Right. Because then it becomes an Asian show.
Have
you had that happen to you?
No, me and Andrew get booked on the same show all the time.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah. You know Andrew Rolfo.
Yeah. Shout out. He's the best. Yeah. Oh, but maybe it's because he's a dude?
I don't know.
Well, you know, I get mistaken for a dude a lot, so I don't know if that's really relevant.
For the listeners, me and Irene look identical, so.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's very, you know, if you have a show where there's like 4 white dudes and 1 black dude, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But if there's a show where it's 4 black dudes and white dude, like it's like, oh, that's a black show.
That's the other thing I want to bring up is like when people are like, oh, you're just getting that because you're gay. You're getting that because you're black or Asian, whatever. I feel like they are dismissing this idea of like, dude, they're giving Asians a chance right now. But if it doesn't work out, they're going to stop booking us immediately.
Oh, yeah. It's very stressful if I get anything, because I'm like, oh, I better really nail this, because otherwise it's never going to come back.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's like we're in this,
do it again.
The wave is here and they're giving us, they're investing
you
us
got
a little
shot.
Bit. But if that wave dies, the back to normal, and what's normal?
Right.
Nothing.
just like straight white dudes again, you know? So I feel like they always have that like default mode locked down. For us, it's like, this is just a little blip, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know what we're going to do with it. But people are very sensitive about it. I mean, I want to bring up this Ali Wong thing. Because I feel like this is a very sensitive topic for comedians and creators too, right?
Yeah. I think so. Ali Wong did, you know, she has a book out, and she's doing a tour.
Yeah.
Do you know Ali? Like,
Oh, yeah. Do you know her?
Do you know her personally?
No, I don't. She moved away from San Francisco before I started there.
Have you ever opened for her and stuff? Because I know you open for pretty big people.
I am a big fan of Ali Wong. I would love to open for her. But no, I've never opened for her. I do know her openers, though.
Who opens for her?
Shang Wang and Kevin Kamiya.
Kevin, I love Kevin.
Do you know Kevin?
I don't know him. So I don't know him personally.
Do you guys have them on the podcast?
We tried to get Shang.
I personally know Shang. He and I went
and he's like, I personally will not do the podcast.
Yeah, no.
Really?
It feels like that sometimes. He and I went to Cal together, and I saw him when he first started, you know,
And he won't do the podcast?
I don't think he won't. I think he's doing his thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't think...
That's so funny.
Unless he... I don't know. Maybe
he just hates you.
Can you get a message back to him? Does he hate me for some reason?
I don't have his number, but if I run into him, I'll mention it.
Okay, because I miss him. So just tell him.
That's so... Well, he also lives in LA, so I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But so she has a book out, and she has... And the way it's sort of set up is like it's a bunch of essays to her children. Who her two daughters who are like very young, but it's very funny. And there's an article of essentially just an interview, and in it I'll just read it. In the book you bring up, this is the interviewer asking Ali Wong. In the book you bring up a question that you hate getting, so of course I'm compelled to ask it, which is what it's like to be an Asian American woman in comedy. What bothers you about this premise, and how do you answer when it comes up? And so basically, I think people ask this question, like, what's it like to be an Asian American woman comedy? And then Ali Wong always says that she doesn't like it. She has a very good response, but, you know, I'll just read this. So that question comes up so much from Asian American women. Again, this is Ali Wong speaking. They clearly want to be in comedy, but this is how you see yourself. Is this how you're reducing yourself? And it upsets me when they ask that, because it makes me think that's how they see themselves as an Asian American woman. And also, it's just not a very good question. If their goal is to pick my brain and get some insight on how to succeed, a much better question is, how do you cope with failure? Or how do you write a great joke? Not what is it like to be an Asian American woman in comedy. Underlying that question is this assumption that being an Asian American woman is a weakness. If you see it as a weakness, it will be a weakness.
Do you get that question sometimes?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Or different versions of it. How do you feel about it? How do you respond to whatever. It?
Yeah, yeah, all that.
Yeah,
triple minority. That's your thing.
Yeah, you know. I'll joke about it, but yeah, I don't like getting any of those kinds of questions either. Mostly because I don't like getting interviewed.
I don't like looking at people.
I'm on this podcast in which I'm getting interviewed, and I hate it. I don't really know. I kind of usually just don't answer the question. I'll kind of skirt around it and try to talk about something else.
What don't you like about it? If you're being completely honest.
Just because I never feel like when I'm doing comedy that I am an Asian American woman doing comedy in that moment.
Yes.
Yeah.
I never feel like that in my life.
What?
If
what,
that makes sense.
I totally get it, because, you know, that's, I feel that way too when people ask me about that shit, because comedy is literally the only place where I'm like not Asian. Does that make sense? Not that I'm afraid of being Asian, but if someone says, I've heard this before, they're like, oh, do you know Fumi? They'll say, he's a comic. And it's the first time in my life where he's like, he's this Asian dude. They don't give a shit. Cause it's like this world where you're just jokes. Yeah, so it's like, are you funny or you're not?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, usually you just want to be known as funny.
Exactly. Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, he's funny.
Right. It'd be weird actually if it was like, oh, you know Fumi? Yeah, he's an Asian.
But literally
comic.
Nobody says that in that comedy context. And when I first started picking up on this, I was like, oh, it's like literally the first time I just feel like I'm everybody else in this environment. And there's something that really feels cool about that. Not that I don't, you know, I'm not mad at being Asian or whatever. But then when people outside of comedy try to bucket you in this thing, you're like, that's not what this world is. That's what's so beautiful about this art form is like, it's like, it's a binary, bro. It's like, are you funny?
You're funny or not funny.
You fucking not funny.
You don't got
it. When I'm writing jokes, I'm not thinking like, oh, what would me as an Asian American woman write about in my jokes? Like, I'm just like, oh, what's funny to me or what happened to me?
Yeah,
and then
I
write that. You know, like none of that filters through like, oh, what did I do today as an Asian American woman?
Yeah.
I've seen Shang Wang, going back to Shang Wang, Mike's very good friend. I've seen him get interviewed by this Taiwanese publication, because I think his parents are Taiwanese or something like that.
Yeah.
And they're like, how do you feel about being a Taiwanese American comedian? And like, I just saw him, like, he just had no thoughts about that specific question, because he's not writing jokes like, oh, this is the Taiwanese angle or whatever, because that's not really his reality.
He also has the silliest jokes too.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
He's a silly American, not an Asian.
Yeah. You know that silly American comic.
You know that silly American comic. He's always joking about balls and stuff.
Yeah.
But you guys, I mean, I do too. Like, we all have Asian-y jokes, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And you don't stray away from that stuff either. And that's,
no.
That's, I think I met you in like 2016 at a comedy festival.
When I was worse at comedy?
Yeah, but so was I.
Yeah.
Hey, what a coincidence.
And I was like, oh, you're so dope. I actually think we were wearing like the same shirt. And I was like,
that is probably true.
Yeah. And then we hung out again at Sketchfest. And I love your stuff because you lean into it, you know? And I feel comedians who are not in our generation, like the ones above, there's a group of them that like will purposely not do Asian jokes because maybe at that time it just didn't make sense for them to do.
Or they'll do more accents. I don't really do any accents.
Yeah, it's either like zero or the hackiest shit. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, but now I think the modern day Asian American comedians are like, it's both. Like sometimes I'll have a joke about Trader Joe's or like I'll have a joke about Asian shit, but it's like from a 2019 straight Asian male represent angle. You
know? Me too. Straight Asian male.
Dude.
WRX.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know. She's great, man.
I will say, I mean, it is nice if someone in the audience does like identify because they're like, oh, I'm also like an Asian American woman and it's cool that you're doing stand-up. Like, that's cool.
Yes.
Because, you know, you didn't get to see that before.
Yeah.
So I get it in that angle. But it's weird to just be like, you do comedy and you're a this thing and that's want
it,
you know,
it feels like a lot of like a big burden.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of pressure,
you know. It's like, oh, you are representing all of us, you know. And it's like, oh, I'm not that funny, you know.
And also I feel like we get more criticism for jokes.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
for
like
sure.
I mean, I kind of do edgy material sometimes or whatever, or I'll do a take word, some people don't like it or whatever.
Yeah.
And people get very mad at me. They're like, this is bad for the community.
I'm
like,
Oh my God.
This is just my take. It's a joke. It's not me saying this is good, this is bad.
Yeah.
They always bring up the community. That's why, like,
I've never really felt like part of any community necessarily. I'm like an only child, so I've been like, I'm like been independent since day one.
Yeah,
I was don't claim me as part of anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm, you know, gay, I'm Asian, I'm a woman, but I'm not like, I'm part of the community. I've never been like, I'm a leader of this community. I'm like, I'm just those things.
Yeah.
And I have my own thoughts, and I don't want to feel like I say something and you're like, well, she said that, and now I'm mad, and she's making us look bad. Right. I'm like, there's no us thing. Yeah. It's been me.
It would be very strange if you were in a community, or if anyone was in a community, like you were part of this, I don't even know what that word means, community, what is the community, then you were like, I'm gonna do comedy to, like, or like the community selected you to do comedy and you now have to represent us like a champion of some kind.
It would
not work, and that person would be so unfunny, you know, to like represent this whole thing.
That becomes like branded content.
Yeah.
not comedy. Also, this is the difference. We're not comedians. Are not like rappers. We don't represent shit. Rappers always like Compton or whatever know. Like I've been watching this show on Netflix called Rhythm and Flow. It's a reality show. It's like American Idol but for rappers. It's so fucking
weird.
It's really good.
Oh,
huge fan of Cardi B. So funny. My favorite comedian actually.
Okay.
But all of them are like I'm repping A-Town, I'm repping Houston. Like,
baby.
They're really about representing their community, and it's just so weird because in comedy, to your point, it's like, that's why sometimes when like Asian people come up to me, I get a little uncomfortable because like, oh, like I'm glad you like my shit, but like, yo, like I'm not all my thoughts are with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm my own person. I grew up in Ohio. I've got my own group of friends. Like, I'm glad you vibe with the 7 minutes I did up there.
Yeah.
But just know that like, I may not agree with you on everything, you know? And that's why like, I'm always so hesitant to like really dip into this like Asian identity as a comedian, because it just feels dangerous once you fucking go in there.
The only time that I really try to rep the community is, this doesn't happen so much anymore, but maybe it does in another way at shows, but like when I had open mics, there was like a whole, there's like, sometimes at open mics, spontaneously, some weird Asian jokey shit will happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll just like continue going for a little while just because. And then that's the only time I felt I was like, I gotta represent. Yo, get me in this dance circle right now.
Check out these jokes.
Yeah, you know?
Start popping and shit.
Yeah. But like, or like at a show, like if somebody says some Asian, I love it when a comedian before me goes up and says something like kind of hacky Asian because, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my delicious
that's when you
appetizer.
Represent.
That's the time I represent.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm.
To correct, to rectify. Kinda, yeah.
It was like, okay, well, let me do my thing. But, you know, It flows into my point of view, which then becomes just like my regular shit.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. We are going to give a quick shout out to our Patreon subscribers. And the way we do this is if you have donated on Patreon this week or in the last couple of weeks, we give you a shout out. If you don't know what we're talking about when we say Patreon, we have a website where you can donate some money to us on a monthly basis, and you get rewards like bonus episodes, you get DMs, you can pitch race news, all kinds of fun stuff. So check us out at patreon.com/AsianNotAsianPod. But on to the game where we guess your ethnicity and occupation.
Or major. Yeah, we're gonna give it a shot because we weren't racist enough, and we have plenty more to give.
We got a feedback and they're like, they said, hey boys, why don't you crank that racism up to 11? And we said yes sir.
And the tiny Hitler mustache appeared on our mouths.
We got that advice from Trump, so shout to him. Here we go. Vin Nguyen.
Oh God. I know who this guy is.
Oh really?
So
I just thought that's the way you react when you hear Nguyen.
Oh God. Oh, fucking Vin.
Which must be like a very, you know, common thing for you.
All the time. Yeah. This dude went to college with me.
Before you describe him, can you just remember that he gave us money?
No, I know. No, I'm gonna roast this motherfucker.
Okay.
he's come to our shows a few times.
Okay, he gave us $10, that's all I'm saying. You know,
first of all, he doesn't have $10.
That's fake.
He somehow scammed Patreon. Vin. I know this is somehow we're losing money. We're giving him money. I don't know. He's good at that sort of thing.
Well, Vin, thanks for
love it.
Thanks for the money. We're not really sure if we're paying you. You're paying us, but thank you. You are Viet, and you went to Berkeley because we know you. Vincent Cabansag, Cabansag, Cabansag,
Cabansag,
Cabansag,
Cabansag,
Cabansag.
I'm gonna say Filipino.
You think so?
What was his first name?
Vincent.
Vincent.
Yeah.
Vincent Cabansag.
Vinny. I think he's half Italian, half Filipino. In the Spanish name realm, they don't have Vincent. That's not a thing.
Maybe. But no. I could see a Filipino mom being like, Vincent. Vincent.
Maybe she was watching The Sopranos or something.
Maybe.
Okay, what's his major?
What's his major? I'm going to go just straight up, just economics.
Yeah? Nah, this guy seems like a bio guy to me. $5. Well, actually, you know what? $5. That's you're right. I think he was an econ major.
Right. He did the math. He like drew a curve.
He did, and it was like they're not gonna last that long.
This not gonna last that long. Afford this.
Next, we got Andrew Tran.
Andrew Tran, Viet. Another Viet.
Oh my God.
This guy is. I want to say he works in analytics. You know what?
Yeah. Why?
Analytics guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would trust an email from Andrew Tran if it was like, hey, the regression looks wrong. I'd be like, I believe you.
Hey, Andrew. Hey, thanks so much for that, bro.
For that regression, man. I mean, I read on like an interview you did a little bit ago. I know you don't like interviews.
Uh-oh, what did I say?
But you were saying like, you know, your opener
but
is
But here
like,
you are being interviewed a lot.
I'm like, oh, did I say something bad?
I'm not sure if this is your opener anymore, but at the time when you got interviewed by like, I think it was UC Berkeley or Alumni Association or something. You were saying like your opener, you addressed the fact that you look like an Asian boy and that you're gay and all this stuff. And then you say something like, maybe I don't want to do that anymore because I wish I could just get into my material, you know, that has nothing to do with that shit without addressing it. Do you feel like you're there now, or do you
I am honestly very sick of it, so I kind of don't do it now. But I also am like trying to put together a late night set. So
flex.
Late night trying to put together. Not I have one.
Late night
sets. So.
It's all about your identity. You got it.
So like,
that's what I represent.
Yeah.
You only got 5 minutes.
That's when like you know I'm right now. I'm like I don't know if I represent the Asian community, but if like a late night booker talks to me, I'm like I'm Asian as shit, bro.
You're coming out
the community.
You're coming out with the bonsai like headband around you.
I got Samurai sword and shit. The community,
what's
baby.
What's going on with Rice? Am I right?
I'm a sellout, baby.
Slapping ninjas and shit.
Yeah. This is the one thing I also want to talk about is, you know, and again, this has been a really interesting experience for me And I hope you too, because when we do the podcast and stuff, fans will come up and they'll be like, you should get this person, you should get this person. And a lot of times they'll just recommend like anybody who's Asian, which is fine because our podcast is called Asian Not Asian. But like, I do at one point want to appeal to the masses, you know? I want to be like Desus and Mero. I don't think necessarily like, if you're white, you can still enjoy Desus and Mero. If you're Asian,
I'm sure you guys have non-Asian listeners.
I feel like our fans like don't know that we're trying to do that. I think our fans think we're just trying to rep the Asian thing. And
it's hard when the title of your podcast does have the word Asian twice.
But it's got that. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
But
you've talked about this. Yeah, you know, we go back and forth in that name.
We do. And like, I sometimes wish we didn't, but at the same time I do, because, you know, you have half of my, the other day I did a show and I did only Asian shit. Mm-hmm. And I connected with this audience like never before. I was like.
And it wasn't an Asian crowd.
No, it's a fucking Asian.
It wasn't Asian.
It was a very Asian crowd, but I think that I was talking about Asian stuff in a way that they had not heard about it before. Yeah. And like, it was like, you know, when Mario gets the star and he's invincible. Like, I could do anything at that point.
I was
on a whole other level.
Yeah.
And it was like really nice. And I was like, oh, this must be how it feels to be like a mainstream comic just talking about parking or whatever the fuck it is they talk about. And it was really cool. And I don't think it's, you know, there's that one. Fuck, what's his name? He's very famous. It's Italian comic.
Sebastian Maniscalco?
Yeah. And like his shit with his crowd, he's a god.
Yeah.
You know? And like a lot of times I'm like, I don't know what the fuck he's talking about, but he has got his thing. And I don't think it's a bad thing. We shouldn't like try to think like, oh, it's like bad to be a quote unquote Asian comic. There's some comics who are like that. And if you're funny, again, it's like, I recognize that, you know, that guy's funny. It's okay. And if it's not my thing, that's okay too.
Yeah.
But, I do think the way to become more broadly accepted, I guess, is to just like put our own point of view on everything. Because then eventually you just know Mike and Fumi.
Yeah.
You know, and we happen to be Asian and we do talk about Asian shit.
Why don't you guys call the podcast Mike and Fumi?
One day.
Well, we have like an acronym for our listeners and we call them anals.
Yeah, I saw that. I was really confused for a second. I was like, oh,
She's not impressed. She's not impressed.
I did my homework.
We could do that. I mean, we could do that. And I think that's the thing is that like, I think we eventually, not even eventually, but like we do try to, if there was like a subtitle, it would be Asian Not Asian featuring Mike and Fumi, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the way to do
it. I think I'm, okay, it's interesting because in stand-up, you know, we came up not doing Asian rules because no such thing existed until
very
recently.
That is interesting,
right?
Too. I was just like, there is no Asian rules.
So like, right, like, you know, we talk about Asian shit, but like, we wrote for non-Asian people, basically. And like, I can do a non-Asian room. In fact, I might do better in a non-Asian room.
Yeah.
I like, my ideal crowd is like, cool young minorities. I think they fuck with me the most. But yeah, like I feel like my stand-up has broader appeal just because maybe I've been doing it longer or I've been like trained that way. But with this podcast, I do think other non-Asian people will like it. But I personally don't feel like we're there yet. You know what I mean?
We're
like,
not there yet, but I think...
But are people scared of the name Asian? I don't believe that.
I think that it's like they... People don't... Okay. Like if you were to say let's go eat Asian food tonight, that means a certain thing. Or if you say the word Asian, that means a certain thing, and it generally doesn't mean funny things, right? It doesn't mean funny. I'm being for real. Like you don't think automatically like oh funny stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but if you say like let's go. Latino thing.
No, I'm just saying that like there's urban rooms is a thing.
Yeah.
Urban rooms is a thing, right? And when you watch Days of Miro, they make all sorts of jokes that I get it, but I didn't live it. I didn't live that life.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't live the life of like of being in the I'm not from the Bronx.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I'm not I'm not Jamaican.
You don't get plantain
but
jokes.
But I still like the content.
Yeah. So I think the thing with the name of your podcast, I think it's just people that aren't Asian feel like they might not necessarily get what you're talking about.
Right.
Because they don't know what the podcast is yet. So they're just like, oh, it's like Asian, not Asian. They're like, well, I'm not that Asian. Maybe I won't get it. So then they won't start listening to it. I think that's what it is.
No,
If someone has never listened to your podcast before.
Yes, yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. And I think that, you know, you can get into Desus and Mero because even though you don't know what it is, funny is it just seems like they're having a good time.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's just these two dudes. Let's see what's this is.
Yeah. Well, you know, you
got you saying we got to change her name to the name of her LLC, Abe Nguyen LLC.
That's more Asian to me.
LLC. We have to have the LLC.
Abe Nguyen LLC.
Our liabilities are limited. Okay. We're not a C corp. Not an S corp.
Oh God.
Not. I feel like you should just name it Mike and Fumi or Fumi and Mike at some point.
That's fun.
Mm.
If you want to appeal to white people, that's what I'm saying.
I believe I'm an optimistic Asian. I believe there's a way to get to them using
the same name that you have now.
Or just why? Okay, so it's like this is so strange because white people are scared of black people when they're when they're crossing the street, but they're scared of Asian people in podcast form. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, what? This is like the crossing of the street. They're like, they're looking at the rankings. Oh, they're like, I don't know about this. Gonna clutch my purse or whatever. You know what I mean?
But that's what I was saying. Like, there's not like an Asian funny thing because it's hard for people to think, oh, Asian people can be funny and have a really interesting conversation.
This is a
and
funny
talk about fucking
point
and stuff like that.
Is that people don't think Asian people are funny.
The thing is,
they just think that you're going to be talking about like eating dogs on the podcast.
We do love talking about rice. We do. Yeah. I mean, the first episode is called The Rice Cooker to our detriment, I guess. Another thing. But if you listen to the episode,
it's not even about rice cooker.
It's about how Fumi doesn't like his partner.
My partner, where do you keep your rice cooker? Now I'm going to ask you this.
Okay, I don't have one in my apartment.
What?
I know it's a problem.
Okay, we gotta delete this. Delete this right now. Delete the whole file.
I don't even have a full bed in my apartment yet. I just moved, and by just I mean July, so it's really like my problem.
Okay, now this is funny. Now this is funny. Yeah. This is teaching me a lot.
But I'm saying, when you were in when you were living in the Bay 3 years ago, like where was your?
Okay, I've never had a rice cooker in my apartment. I don't think.
What does that even mean?
you don't eat rice regularly?
Only when I'm at my house, I have a rice cooker. I just don't buy stuff. If someone gifted me a rice cooker, I would totally use it every day. It's very inconvenient to like make rice in a pot, which I've done.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you want a cooker,
like a barbarian.
Yeah, but I don't usually buy rice and cook rice because I don't have a rice cooker.
What do you eat at home?
I mostly eat out.
Okay. You're one of those.
Yeah, or I'll make breakfast food because I can make breakfast food.
Like
I can make
toast?
Like a salmon too. I can. Okay. Like, I'll make a lot of eggs. I don't know.
Wow.
Well, we gotta
I don't
get
have
you
my life
cooker.
Together, really? Okay? Yeah.
I feel I should invite you over for dinner or something.
Can someone buy me a rice cooker? Yeah. They're not that expensive, and
we
lost our listeners.
Oh, yeah, I know how to use a rice cooker.
But see, this rice cooker conversation was funny, and we got to know a lot more about you.
Yeah.
But like that,
that I'm lazy?
Yeah.
But that's all part of it.
It's funny. And then, you know, you're alone, and you need friends, and you don't know how to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
All this from the rice cooker.
See, it brings people together.
And
nice.
But that's the thing is that like as soon as people see rice cooker, they're gonna be like, oh, they're gonna make like rice jokes or
right.
some shit like that.
Yeah.
Which we do, but like we use it to get into other things. And that's really the whole point.
But that's my frustration is like white people will happily consume like black or Latino, Latinx media, even if they lean into that shit, you know.
Yes.
They'll watch there's a sketch show called Black Astronomers, right?
Astronomy.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a sketch group.
Yeah.
It's all
black
people.
They're very
it's
funny.
Fucking hilarious, right? I mean, maybe it's because I just have a more international background. Like that word does not scare me. I'm like, cool, comedy. Yeah. Like
black or astronomers.
Astronomers. I hate space.
Oh, okay.
I have space phobia. But yeah, I don't know. I think
it's because they think Asian people aren't funny.
They think
That's an interesting topic. We got to teach them to
be funny.
So now you have to name your podcast Asian People Are Funny.
Asian People Are Funny. That's a funny podcast.
Please listen to our podcast.
Yeah,
Asian People Are Funny.
Asian People Are Funny.
LLC.
LLC.
I'm like, I feel like that addresses everything that you're like, this is an Asian podcast, but also it's funny.
It's funny, yeah.
You're welcome. Somebody can use this.
Jesus. And we're back with our guest Irene Too, and we are going to do everybody's favorite segment. It is Das Race News. Today we have an article from the LA Times. Headline reads, Asian Hair and What We Talk About in LA Barbershops. And I didn't, you know, this whole article was about the barbershop culture. It begins with the writer talking about where he used to get his haircut at this like Colombian barbershop or something like that. And then he explores this like Asian barbershop that is in Southland? I don't know where that is.
I don't know where that is either.
Is that LA?
It's in LA, yeah.
Okay, so there's like a...
It's in the Southland, which is what they call Southern California.
Oh, the okay. Southland is Southern California. So is it... I wanted to use this article to just kind of, as a departure point, to talk about Asian people and hair.
Yes.
Because, you know, this person talks specifically about, like, how when he was younger, his mom would give him a bowl cut. Like, you know, he wasn't able to achieve a lot of the haircuts that he wanted. Like, he remembers taking a picture of, like, Brad Pitt or somebody to his hairstylist, who was probably Latino, and they're like, oh, we can't do that with your hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember that was, like, a big thing for me too when I first moved here, because I have very thick Asian hair.
Yeah.
And it grows out like a fro.
Yeah.
And I always had such a complex with it when I was a kid. I hated my hair when I was a kid. Mm. And I was so... My mom would always say white people have hair like cats.
Mm.
Like you could just change it with your hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Like whatever direction. You don't even need gel. You could just mold it to whatever shape you want. So that really stuck with me. And my hair is not like a cat at all. So I would go to like barber shops or whatever places to get haircuts, and it would always turn out as like a disaster. So my mom would cut it and stuff, and then I don't know, I just had like such a weird experience with the hair. It took me a long time to like figure it out, how to get my hair cut, where to go, what to put in it and stuff like that. And I wanted to ask you guys, what has your experience been with your hairs, with your respective hairs? Like was selecting a hairstylist or like a barber, was that an important decision in your life? Did it take you a long time to find somebody?
Mm. Okay, so I have like a weird relationship with this, because for the first 19 years, I had really long hair.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Okay. I had like the classic, just straight all the way down. To like my back.
I'm trying to imagine.
Don't imagine it. It's really bad. Just imagine the worst haircut on me ever, and that's what it is. You could find it on Facebook, I think.
Okay, I'm going to look for it later.
Yeah, that's bad. So I never went to a barbershop growing up, obviously, because I just had really long hair, and my mom would just, you know, do a little trim every like 6 months to a year, and I never really cut my hair, and it just looked like that.
Yeah.
And then I cut my hair shorter when I was 19. I did like a shoulder length first, because I didn't want to go all the way.
Yeah.
I was like afraid. Mm. And then I cut it shorter, and then I had to like figure out how to get that cut.
Yeah.
So I never really experienced like barbershop culture, because I didn't really do that. Like I went to salons first, and then I did go to a couple barbershops. I usually try to look for like queer friendly barbershops.
Is that a thing? Queer haircuts?
Totally.
What does that even mean?
Like a gay haircut. You know when you see someone, you're like, well, that's a gay haircut.
Yeah, here
but
you go.
On a lady.
But I could have this haircut that you have.
Oh, yeah. But
you're a dude.
Sure. Yeah.
But well, I don't understand. Like, what? Oh, you're...
There's different... There's, like, different queer haircuts. I feel like there's some that you could not pull off, but it's, like, also, like, a lesbian haircut.
Yeah,
and then
there's
mine that are just, like, we could both have this haircut.
Yeah. The same haircut. Shop at the same stores.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're the same size. but I think the thing for me was really I wanted to get a short, cool haircut, but I didn't want to be like too masculine, like too much.
Yeah.
That's where that queerness comes in.
Yeah. So it's I want to look like the haircut has to be like short and like a little bit masculine, but I don't want it to look like I went to the army.
Where it's like real brutal.
When you got your hair cut that short, who was it? Like, was it an Asian person? Or did you go did you go to a queer salon? Like, how did that come?
I went to a salon that another queer person who was not Asian, I liked her hair. So then I went to the same salon that she did. And then I actually didn't like the haircut that I got, because white people don't really know how to cut Asian people's hair. So then I did have the problem where every time I would cut my hair, I don't think I had ever had an Asian barber or hairstylist, because I don't know, every time I went to a salon or barbershop, it just was like a white girl or white guy.
Yeah.
So like sometimes the haircut would look good, but more often than not, it would not look like the way I wanted to look.
Yeah.
Either they would like didn't know how to do my hair, because like my hair is like I have a lot of hair.
It's
like
thick.
Really thick. Yeah. I have so much hair. Like every time they're like, you have a lot of hair, and I'm like, I know, they'll have to like thin it out.
Yeah.
Or it would just like look too masculine, or they just didn't know what to do with it. Yeah. And I'd be like, this is what I want. Like I'd show them like a Justin Bieber haircut. you know, the tall one.
The one he has now with the Calvin.
No,
Klein
not the one. Not the one now. Not the original Bieber haircut, which was more
emo?
Of like
the,
not the emo one. Yeah.
Then he
the
went
one
bald.
After the emo one. Oh, not the bald one.
After that.
The one that looks like my hair now, basically.
Yeah.
So I'd like show them that, and then they'd usually.
So who cuts your hair now? An Asian person. You don't really have a guy.
I have a woman, a girl. I guess she's sort of Asian.
What does that mean?
I'm gonna mess it up. So I'm just gonna say ethnic.
This person knows how to cut Asian hair.
This person knows how to cut hair.
Okay. All types of hair. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's hard to find. I mean, I remember my dad. We were living in Ohio. He was like, we were like on the road. He was like, I gotta get a haircut. And he went to a black barber, and they rejected him.
Really?
They were just like, I don't know how to cut this kind of hair.
Oh.
I feel like when you're talking about hair, it's okay to like talk about biology and not be racist, because it's real. Like, yeah. I think if you can cut Asian hair, you can probably cut white hair. Because shouts again to my mom's analogy. It's like cat's hair. But Asian hair is a different thing.
Yeah, I don't think you necessarily need to be Asian.
No.
If you read that article too, it's basically just like if you have experience cutting Asian hair, after you get used to it, you're like, oh, that's what this is like.
Yeah.
So like my person that I go to, I think she does have like a bunch of Asian clients, but also a bunch of like white clients and like whatever.
She has experience
cutting with all different types of hair.
Yeah,
and then she's also queer and like knows a lot of queer people. So I'm like, this is what I want. And then she'll cut it. And I like the way it looks all the time, because it's like, well, it's like I have Asian hair and also I want a queer haircut. And she's like, yep, that's
at what age were you like, I'm finally like kind of okay with my hair?
Maybe like 2 years ago, so 25.
Yeah,
25.
Me too, man. Me too.
Oh, really?
I didn't know how to tame it. And then when I would go get haircuts, because I didn't know how to tame it, I didn't know how to give the proper instructions.
Yeah.
So my barber now always talks about like some people are bad at giving us orders.
That's true.
Yeah.
And so then they get a bad haircut and they're mad.
Yeah.
But he was like, the key to a good haircut, you know, regardless of like what kind of hair you're cutting, is like, can you give me the right instructions? Because most likely, like, you don't have complicated haircuts. It's short on the side, keep the top kind of long, whatever.
Yeah, but if you say that, it doesn't necessarily come
exactly
out the way you want.
Oh, no, exactly. Yeah. Step. I mean, my barber started using like the buzzer like recently, but he just did scissors for like the longest time.
On the sides?
He would do all, because Japanese people, they don't use.
Oh, you have a Japanese barber?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it was a very complicated journey, man. I don't know. What about you, Mike?
You guys are inspiring me to get hair back.
Yeah. I mean, when did you decide to shave it all?
Like about 10 years ago, like before I came
to New York. So your wife knew you before you went.
Oh yeah. I'm having this whole kind of like Usual Suspects flashback moments now, where I'm like remembering all these key moments in my life of getting haircuts from different people.
Yeah.
And like how I always hated my hair.
Yeah.
And none of those people were, one guy was Asian, I kind of liked his hair, what he did.
Yeah.
But it was a constant quest of just like trying to find someone to give me a haircut that I would like.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever, again, except for this one dude, ever liked any of my haircuts, which is why I just deleted my hair. I just thought, fuck this.
Deleted your hair.
Because like,
woo!
I remember, I mean, once I went to, this salon, and like a student did it, but like it was like a very good school.
Oh, is it in New York? Bumble?
No. I think it was a Bumble, but it was in LA.
Okay.
But
those
are
the worst though, when you have a student, because it takes like an hour and a half.
Oh, it took so long.
Oh, really?
And I did not like it. And so
it's cheaper, but it's really not worth
it. It's not worth it. I went to I guess you call it like an urban barber.
Yeah.
And the thing, they did okay.
Yeah.
The thing that was funny is they edged me.
Oh, so you can have a straight line.
Yeah, it was like all along here. I felt like an R&B singer. It was, I looked like John B. It was like crazy. And I've had tons of haircuts from lots of white people in Texas, and I always hated going, because like you're supposed to talk to the barber. I did not want to talk to the barber and like joke around with him, and I was very nerve wracking. And I'm trying to think. My hair is wavy, right?
Okay.
And so, which is weird.
That is weird.
It's super weird. Mm. And I think that's just like, I always, when I was growing up, I've mentioned this on the pod before. When I was growing up, I wanted like Asian gangster bangs. Do you know what I'm talking
gangster
about? Are you guys
bangs?
Old enough to know what I'm talking
what is
about?
That?
Like this?
Asian cool Asian guys, gangster guys, would have like short hair like you guys, but in the front their hair would be really long.
I think they talked about that in the article.
Yes, they had really long
hair. I've never seen this before though.
It's definitely a very 90s thing, but like for a long time it was like the coolest. Another thing that was really big is the step haircut. You guys don't know what the step
What's
is.
The step?
Step is like, it literally looks like a step in your hair. So it's like really short, and then like it gets long, longer.
Is that called layers for women? Letters?
It might be. I don't know. But like, it's
I
like,
cannot imagine what this haircut looks like.
What do you mean steps?
Yeah. Just like, how do you get
it's
a
like
step?
It's like a step. It's like it's called a step haircut. It's like shave, really shave short, yeah, and then like not quite as short around like the next level up above your head.
Does it look good?
What?
It looked terrible on me. It looks good on like a lot of Asian dudes had it because yeah, like it worked with like this kind of thing. Look up step haircut.
Yeah, I've literally never seen this
step
before.
Step haircut Asian.
Do you see it? Hold on. No.
Those just look like normal haircuts.
I don't think it's a thing, Mike. I think your barber made it up because he fucked it.
I don't think this is a thing.
I'm literally just seeing normal ass haircut.
Step. I remember.
I started going to like a Chinese barber when I first came, because I was very stingy. And like if you go to like a Japanese or Korean salon, it's very expensive. It's like $50 or whatever. And so I was like, I'm going to just go to Chinatown spot. It was like $15. But I think as an adult, yeah, man, you got to pay what you got to pay.
You can't pay $15 for a haircut
you
as an adult.
You
it's
can't.
Never going to be good.
It's not good. So I was like, you know what? If it's like $25 more, whatever, so be it. Like, if I want to feel good after it, I think it's worth that extra money, you know?
Totally. Very simple hair for me.
Well, you kind of.
$15, give me a one. Give me a zero. Fuck that up. Huh?
You could just cut your own hair at
this
point.
I do cut my own hair.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, I save
you just do it while
money.
You're shaving. You just fucking take it up.
Yeah, I'm just shaving my mustache.
Yeah,
and
you're
I
like,
just
might
don't stop.
You're like, might as well.
Sometimes I get my eyebrow. I'm like, yeah.
I'm
eyebrow.
Literally not even joking. Like, can you?
No.
Just cuts
I have
whole face off.
I have like a...
Jesus.
Yeah, I look great. But yeah, so yeah, it is complicated.
You save so much money though.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, you know, when I was getting like fancier haircuts from the guy I liked, I loved it, but it was like $50, not including tip I would say every like at least every 3 weeks.
Yeah,
maybe,
that's
maybe
like
once
how often
a month.
I cut my hair. Yeah.
But that's a lot.
Because like straight guys will make you feel bad for paying a lot for haircuts. But I'm like over that.
People do that?
Well, dude, I mean, now there's this whole like persons of interest and like cool. That
I know,
haircut.
But I remember in college, they're like, I told this one guy, I was like, oh, my haircut's $40. And they're like,
what?
They were like so offended that, like, what?
But you know, these dudes are now the dudes who spend like $50 on like mustache oil, you know?
Yeah. I don't got that.
All right.
Yeah,
I feel like in college, though, everyone's trying not to spend a lot of money, though.
But it was like cool to not spend money.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
I mean?
Well, I didn't cut my hair that often when I was in college.
Yeah.
And then I saw a photo recently. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, we look like shit.
That hair was terrible. Like, I looked like a porcupine.
That's good.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Again, our guest today was Irene Too. Irene, where can our guests find you?
You can find me on social media at Irene_2, that's T-U. And if you know the person who took my handle, Irene Too, please find them and kill them, because I really want my handle back.
They took it?
They took my Instagram and Twitter handle and never use it.
What do you mean they took it?
They have it and I can't get it.
So what is yours now? T
it's underscore. It says Irene underscore T U. It's very annoying to explain.
Damn. Hey, well, anals, hey, you guys are all Asian. Go find that too.
Yep.
Go find that too. Oh, you can also find us on Instagram at Asian.AsianPod, and I'm also on there at TheFumiAbe. That's TheFumiAbe.
And you can find me on Instagram at NicePantsBro.
Please come to our next Hack City comedy show. I don't know when it is, but it's every third Wednesday. Check out the link in our Instagram bio.
Yay.
At Canal Street Market, 8:00. Full house every time, guys.
So
it's
fun.
It's a good deal. And please, if you're listening to this on iTunes, please leave us a review. 5 stars and say something nice.
Yep.
And do you have anything else important coming up?
No, we only have our stand-up shows now.
That's right.
Well, we will be having
A live show soon.
Check the links in our bios because we're trying to come out to California.
Yes.
And maybe a couple other spots along the East Coast.
Oh, yeah. I want to ask you about that, Irene, later. About cool venues that we could do
a
live podcast in.
Want to do
we'll
it.
Talk about it
LA.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thanks again.
Thank you, guys.
Irene,
thank you, Irene. Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Asian Not Asian is presented in partnership with Listening Party. Follow the crew on Instagram at Listening Party Presents and at Canal Street Market.